If there was one thing I looked forward to every year as a kid, it was the wondrous arrival of the Scholastic's book fair. When it would arrive, I would beg my mother for a crisp $5 or $10 bill to buy a wacky book or maybe a how to draw cartoon book, which I still have to this day, or maybe some other weird, useless thing they had. Book fairs in elementary school truly were the most memorable for me, and there is one in particular that I still remember that introduced me to a book series that I would go on to study and analyze in my college years. In the fall of 1998, we as a class were taken out of our classroom to a large auditorium within my elementary school. My first grade class was brought in and marveled at the wall-to-wall shelves of books, posters, pencils, stickers, and so much more. As I walked around in a daze, I selected a couple of books that I don't quite remember anymore. With a couple of bucks in my pocket, I was lucky enough to convince my folks to give me, I purchased my books. As the lady helping me bagged my things, she placed within my bag a book I didn't quite purchase. It was a free book that was being given out. It was the paperback Scholastic printing of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. I remember trying to read it at the time, but I didn't quite grasp it at that fine age of 6 years old, so I put it off reading for a few years. And that is just what I did. I read the books, saw the movies, and I even listened to the audiobooks. The wizarding world of Harry Potter was a created world from the mind of J.K. Rowling that allowed my inner child to escape to a world filled with wonder, adventure, friendship, and magic. It allowed my imaginative mind to run wild. It played such a large part in my life. I grew to write countless essays on the books and even took courses studying them for my major. In fact, after waiting for years, I even received my Hogwarts acceptance letter. The books truly were a world of their own, but upon closer inspection, bits and pieces of our reality are seen between the pages. The books feature inspirations from Greek and Celtic folklore as well as many other cultures, which designed its characters, plots, and creatures. There is a lot to unpack within the Harry Potter universe, so in today's episode, we are going to center in on one main topic: the creatures within the books. Several of these creatures are inspired by Greek, Celtic, and other cultural mythologies. Going book by book, let's see what those creatures truly are. So, let's dive into that. Welcome to Audibly Haunted. I'm your host, Ani Kachadorian. This is where it all begins: Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. If you're from England, you would remember it as Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. The first chapter, titled The Boy Who Lived, gives us a glimpse of little Harry Potter as he is subjected to his cruel aunt and uncle's treatment, as well as the relentless torment from his bully of a cousin, Dudley. So much happens to Harry that he can't quite explain, like the time when his aunt gave him a horrible haircut that he knew would land him as the butt of Dudley's jokes at school, only to wake the next day with his hair fully grown back. The Dursleys, Harry's aunt, uncle, and cousin, were a no-nonsense family who only believed what was real and what was right in front of them. Nothing more, nothing less. His aunt and uncle were quite aware that because Harry's parents were a witch and wizard, it was just a matter of time when Harry would receive his letter to the magical school of Hogwarts, witchcraft, and wizardry. No matter how hard they tried, just shy of Harry's 11th birthday, he gets his letter. And his uncle does what he can to keep them away from Harry, refusing to believe magic is real. In the end, it leads Harry to be rescued, if you will, by none other than Rubius Hagrid, which gives us one of the most famous lines, "You're a wizard, Harry." The touches of inspiration within the Harry Potter book series in reality sort of starts with Hagrid. The character of Hagrid, who was half giant, half human, was a towering man with the heart of gold. He was based on the Scottish giant Angus Mac Og, who was said in mythology to be the protector of animals. This is fitting, as Hagrid is the gamekeeper at Hogwarts, with a special love for all creatures, good, bad, cute, and ugly. It is also Hagrid that leads young Harry, Hermione, Neville, and Draco into the Forbidden Forest at Hogwarts to serve detention. Hagrid is worried, as there is something in the forest killing a creature so pure that to kill it is simply unfathomable. Unicorns. Hagrid is upset and on edge as he continues to find unicorn blood throughout the forest and even finding the creatures dead. We come to find that it's Lord Voldemort that is killing the creatures, trying to keep himself alive. Unicorns are found in several different mythologies across the world, but you see the first ever mentionings of the unicorn not exactly in mythology, but rather within natural history writings. It's by the Greek writer Ctesias in the 4th century BCE in his book Indica, claims there to be a creature that is fleet of foot, that is white, and features a long horn from the middle of its head, living in India. He was not the only one to speak of this creature, as the mentionings of the unicorn spread across Europe, Asia, and even North Africa. Within the Harry Potter world, it is said that if you were to drink the blood of a unicorn, even on the brink of death, your life would be restored. However, you would be given a half-life, a cursed life, as to kill something so pure does not come without punishment. J.K. Rowling seems to have taken inspiration from the folklore that follows the unicorn's healing powers. However, the powers are not in the blood, but mythology claims it to be in the creature's horn. The horn of the unicorn is referred to as the alicorn. Several folklores claim that should you remove the horn and either drink the liquid on the horn or the blood from where it was ripped from the creature's head, it would restore you to full health. If grounded up, the horn powder possessed magical powers of healing. The horn would purify the waters it touched, even. It is possible to say that with Voldemort drinking the blood from these creatures, he is trying to purify his blood, taking the risk even if the blood will curse him. Once Harry has arrived at Hogwarts and has been officially sorted into Gryffindor, they sit back to enjoy their first dinner feast. Before they are all befuddled by the food that's about to be before them, Dumbledore stands and addresses the school, giving out start of term rules. One announcement, though, stands a bit odd to the rest. Dumbledore states, "I must tell you that this year, the third floor corridor on the right-hand side is out of bounds to anyone who does not wish to die a very painful death." So what exactly is on the right-hand side of the third floor corridor? Well, things within the book happened a little bit differently than in the movie. In the book, Harry's Hogwarts enemy is one Draco Malfoy, a pure-blood, nasty little wizard. Draco challenges Harry and Ron to a wizard's duel once the castle has all gone to bed. charged to beat Malfoy, Harry and Ron set off, and Hermione and poor Neville Longbottom, trying to stop them, all end up venturing to the chosen spot, which is the trophy room. They hear steps coming towards them and realize it was a trap, and it is the groundskeeper, August Filch. In a panic, the four of them run and find themselves in the third floor corridor without realizing where they are. They come to a sudden stop, and they were looking into the eyes of a monstrous dog, a dog that filled the whole space between ceiling and floor. It had three heads, three pairs of rolling mad eyes, three noses, twitching and quivering in their direction, three drooling mouths, saliva hanging in slippery ropes from yellowish fangs. It was standing quite still, all six eyes staring at them, and Harry knew that the only reason they weren't already dead was that their sudden appearance had taken it by surprise. But it was quickly getting over that, and there was no mistaking what those thunderous growls meant. Cerberus, or Fluffy, the name given to the creature by Hagrid, the three-headed dog. This creature, just like unicorns, is a fairly famous creature found within Greek mythology. Cerberus was a great big three-headed dog that guarded the entrance to the underworld. The usage of Cerberus in Harry Potter really takes the actual Greek story of the creature and implements it right into the story. Cerberus was always seen as a guard, a protector of something. In Greek mythology, it was the guard to the underworld. But in Harry Potter, it seemingly does the same in a different context. After getting away from Fluffy, Ron exclaims, "What do they think they're doing, keeping a thing like that locked up in a school? If any dog needs exercise, that one does." Hermione rebuttals, "You don't use your eyes, any of you, do you? Didn't you see what it was standing on?" Harry sarcastically states, "The floor? I wasn't looking at its feet. I was too busy with its heads." Frustrated, Hermione retorts, "No, not the floor. It was standing on a trap door. It's obviously guarding something." Fluffy stands on the trap door that leads to the chambers protecting the philosopher or sorcerer's stone. To get to the stone, one must drop down the trap door. This could be looked at as the entrance to the underworld, as there is a high chance of death to the person seeking to steal the stone. More after the break.
Welcome to the Dead Podcast. I'm your host, Desi, and on this podcast, I discuss all things spooky and weird, from ghosts, demons, religion, to folklore, urban legends, true crime, and all things paranormal, with some horror movie reviews sprinkled in. So join me on this spooky ride.
With Harry now fully immersed in the wizarding world, in the second book, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, he encounters creatures both good and bad that he never expected. As the book begins, Harry travels to Hogwarts and begins his second term at the magical castle, but something strange begins to happen. He begins to hear a terrifying voice traveling in the walls, threatening to kill. And each time he hears it, a student of Muggle or non-magical parentage ends up petrified. Harry keeps finding himself in the wrong place at the wrong time, with the whole school believing he is the person threatening and attacking people. When the last attack happens, Harry is taken to Dumbledore's office. Scared that he's going to be blamed, Harry stands in the office alone, looking around. he comes across Dumbledore's strange bird perched on its stand. Suddenly, to make matters worse for him, the bird bursts into flames. Suddenly, Dumbledore walks in and Harry pleads his case that he couldn't do anything to save it. Dumbledore calms Harry, telling him that the bird is a phoenix named Fox. This is one of my favorite creatures in the book series, so much so that I named my dog Fox. While the phoenix is found in Greek mythology, it is seen in several other cultures, including Egyptian folklore. No matter the culture that the phoenix is found in, the folklore always symbolizes it as a symbol of immortality. When the phoenix reaches the end of its cycle, it bursts into flames and is reborn from the ashes. Fox follows the same description found across almost all folklore and mythology. Phoenixes, as well as fox, are always described as a great big bird with sapphire eyes and plumage made of fiery reds and oranges made to resemble the sun. One aspect that Fox has that the phoenix in folklore does not is that the phoenix within the Harry Potter universe has healing powers in its tears. Its tears can heal any wound. Though, on the other hand, Fox and the folklore phoenix share a power that comes up only twice in the book. A phoenix is described to have a melodic cry. When a phoenix sings or cries, it offers the listener a sense of calm and comfort. Fox cries twice in the series, once down in the Chamber of Secrets, as Harry faces Dumbledore, giving him comfort and strength, and the second time, in the last book, as they lay Dumbledore to rest. Fox's cry is heard, and even in his grief, Harry is filled with comfort and calm. As the story goes on, Harry finds the entrance to the chamber, and him and Ron venture down to try and save Ron's sister Ginny, who was taken into the chamber by Voldemort. Once entering the chamber, Harry finds Ginny unconscious, but there is another person, the young echo of Voldemort that was left behind many years ago. As the echo grows stronger from Ginny growing weaker, young Voldemort calls on the creature that has been petrifying students of Hogwarts. Slithering towards Harry is a great big snake called the Basilisk. Within Greek mythology, it is said to be the most venomous creature that ever lived. It is said that the venom that drips from its mouth is so tainted that it not only kills any living thing in its wake, but it even shatters stones. Should it drink from a well, it is said within folklore that the water would remain polluted for centuries, bringing death to anything that drinks from it. While at times in folklore it is described as breathing fire, the basilisk within Harry Potter does not have that quality. With that being said, the basilisk is just about spot on with both book and folklore. Both describe it as a large snake with rows of sharp teeth. They both can kill not only with their venom, but by simply having their victim stare into its eyes. The basilisk in folklore is said to have been hatched from the egg of a rooster, and can only be killed when it becomes vulnerable after hearing the crowing of a rooster. The books use this piece of folklore as well, as Ginny, while being possessed by Voldemort, kills all of the roosters on the grounds to make sure that they pose no threat to the basilisk. Legends and folklore tell a tale of a man on horseback that stabs the basilisk in the mouth with the spear, killing it. Unfortunately, in those stories, though, the venom that drips on the man and the horse kills them both. This story within legends and folklore is also a direct depiction of what happens in the book as well. As the battle with the basilisk begins, Fox flies into the chamber and gives Harry the Hogwarts sorting hat. And from within it, Harry pulls out the sword of Gryffindor, and as the basilisk strikes, he plunges it into the creature's mouth, killing it. The difference is, though, Harry is stabbed by the basilisk's fang. But instead of dying, Fox swoops down and cries a large tear into the wound, healing and saving Harry. Moving into the third book of the series, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, one creature stands out the most throughout the book. As Hagrid is made to be the new Care of Magical Creatures teacher, he wishes to wow his first class with something grand. Entering into a clearing in the forest where the class is standing is a small pack of creatures that feature the head and claws of a great big eagle, the body of a horse, and majestic large wings. These creatures are called hippogriffs. Harry, much to his dislike, is made to be the first to step close to a hippogriff named Buckbeak. To have the creature trust you, you must approach slowly with caution and to do a deep, low bow. As Harry does this, Buckbeak bows back, showing his trust of Harry. So, why the theatrics with the hippogriff? Well, the book seems to follow the told folklore within Greek mythology. Hippogriffs are devoted companions, and they can form strong bonds, but only if they are met with respect and humility. The Greek mentionings of hippogriffs is scarce, but what there is out there states that they are a harmonious connection of two worlds, which could be why Buckbeak bows to Harry, as he is kind and humble, respectful to all regardless of who they are and what their bloodline is. This could be why Buckbeak attacks Draco Malfoy, as he stalks over to the hippogriff with anger and arrogance in his heart. There is so much more to discuss within the Harry Potter series, and to give each book and creature their own true spotlight, I think it's time to deliver a two-part episode. J.K. Rowling brings the wonders of Greek and other cultural mythologies to life within Harry Potter. Having gone through the first three books, these five mythical creatures are only the beginning, and there is so much more to come. This has been Audibly Haunted, and I'm your host, Ani Kachadorian. You can find Audibly Haunted wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, Apple, Google, Amazon, you name it. So give it a listen and drop a rating or a review and tell all your friends. And remember, you can always find Audibly Haunted on Instagram at Audibly Haunted. And if you have a ghost story that you would like to share, I would love to hear it. You can always reach out to me at audiblyhaunted@gmail.com or send me a message on Instagram. I would love to hear from all of you. And make sure to hop on over to the Dead Podcast to get some more spooky in your life. You can find the Dead Podcast anywhere you get your podcast, and you can find them on Instagram at the Dead Podcast. and I'll see you all next week.